children are now dismissed. There's even a sign, so I won't
can't feel it. You might be able to experience it. Well, you can experience it. Let's raise the stakes of this game. This is not a one-time game. The Israelites are great at making one-time decisions, but not so great at making the daily decisions to choose only one God. This is the game we're in. This game doesn't end. Guess who gets to play? Everybody in this room who says, I choose the eternal and intangible. Great, you've won one round. Your reward? 7 more rounds. And the reward for that is a lifetime of rounds of this game where you get to either choose A or B. And sometimes along the way you'll get, you know, an attaboy from God, or you might see his hand on your life. I hope you do. I hope you have. I hope you are. But sometimes you just get more rounds of this game. So, are you playing? This is the daily struggle about this is, do you really want this? And is the calf, is the other gods worth it? They might seem that way, but I'll let you choose. And there's another aspect to this game that we're playing today that I haven't mentioned yet. It's a big reason for why Jesus came in the first place. See, Jesus was tangible, right? We just mentioned that. Jesus was tangible. Jesus was there for 30 years. He's not physically here as a man anymore, physically. But he knew about the game. So he says, I'll give you an advocate for me. My spirit, you can have it. It's yours. Has anybody seen the spirit physically? What does it look like? Has anybody touched the spirit physically? What does it feel like? I haven't. But I know him. I've experienced him. I've felt him. I feel him now. But do we need to see him? I don't think the disciples understood this, at least from my perspective. In John 14, you can flip. We'll be in here for a minute. Verses 5 through 9. Jesus is... And I always picture this conversation as very frustrating for Jesus, because all he's trying to talk about is how he's going to leave and what he's going to do and who's going to be there with him when he goes, and they don't understand it because, again, they want to be able to touch, to see. They want to be able to wash his feet, to bow down and worship the man. So let's read what Jesus says. Again, probably frustrated. John 14:5. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So can we know the way, or can you show us the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And then Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work." His work, sorry. And then, real quick, flip to verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." The disciples didn't get it. Should we? Do we? Do you? What Jesus is trying to say is that the Spirit is enough. The Spirit is enough for us to know. And on top of that, what God was saying to Moses was, his provisions are enough. Well, we got both. So what's holding us back? What has God done for you? What is he doing for you? What is he saying to you? It's enough. It's enough. See, even though God provided and Moses instructed them to remember God's provisions, they took the provisions as divine provisions, but they did not fully understand the idea that there's only one God. Can you understand that there is only one God that should take precedent in our lives? So what's the role of the Spirit then? Well, to me, he is our healer, our comforter, our protector. He is the heavenly mystery that pursues holiness in us. The Spirit is the heavenly host, or the representation, that is God's humility on the planet for us. He didn't have to do that. But he did. So next time you're having a bad day and you think or say, "You know, I deserve a, for me, it's going to probably be ice cream." Or, "I really just don't want to think about anything right now," and I flip the TV on. Or, whatever it might be for you. Or, I mean, are you thinking about somebody else? Does anybody else struggle with this? These are not the answer. They can be good. Ice cream tastes great, but it's not my comforter. TV is great. It's art, but it's not a healer. And they're not going to move you forward. They're not going to. That's my other thing, is these are not going to move you forward. I think that God was scared that the Israelites were going to remain Egyptians. And so that's why he gave them all of these laws and all of these rules to follow. I think God was afraid that they were not going to grow past who they were when they were slaves. I think last time I spoke, I accidentally mentioned something that I had been thinking about. I said some people choose to remain as slaves. I think God was scared the Israelites already had. And that's okay if they did. But God gave them these rules to follow. God showed them the cloud. God showed them Moses. God gave them all of this so that they might grow. It's your choice. Are you going to remain as a slave? Are you going to remain in captivity? Are you going to remain the same? Or are you going to try to grow? That's all he asks. That's all he asks. I mean, all the Egyptians ever knew was Egypt. So in that second verse passage we read from Exodus, I mean, all Aaron knew was Egypt. All Moses knew was Egypt. But Moses had seen God, that makes him different. Aaron, all he ever knew was Egypt. So, of course it made sense to him that the calf should be made, should be consecrated to a god. But I think we here today know a little bit better. At least I hope. At least I hope that you've seen God. If not, I'm sure somebody here has. I'm sure somebody here has. Go talk to them. I'm sure somebody has had God move in their life. I'm sure somebody has experienced his presence. So what is keeping you from experiencing that for you? Or if you're perfect at it, which I hope you are, but I doubt it, then who are you thinking about that needs prayer, that needs guidance, that needs family? Who? Because everybody deserves and everybody gets to. Another part of this passage in John says, well, Lord, what about everybody else who doesn't get the Spirit? And God says, or Jesus says, anybody who believes in me will have the Spirit of truth. So you do know better if you're here, or hopefully you want to. So what's keeping you back if something's keeping you back? Well, I'll give you a couple minutes to think about that before I hit you with some questions. I'm going to invite the praise team back up. And we're going to sing Do It Again one more time. And while we're singing or sitting and praying, I want you to figure it out. I want you to ask God what might be keeping you, wedging itself in between you and the Lord. And as you're praying, I pray that you would also ask for forgiveness. But when you ask for forgiveness, you're forgiven. Or acknowledge your forgiveness because you already are forgiven, and now you have no excuse. Will you pray with me? Father, your provision for us was not needed, and we thank you for how much you have provided for us. If you haven't provided for us in the last few years, you definitely have before we were even born to the moment we're here now. Show us today why that's important, and show us today what you've done for us. And then thank you for your Spirit. Great is your faithfulness, because you never change. Your promises stay the same. That we would be able to see something real, maybe not tangible, but real in our lives today. That's all we ask. In Jesus' name we pray.
stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithful man. Still in your hands. This is my confidence. Never fail me.
Second is, if we remove one problem from our life, are we destined to find something else? How long does it take? If we choose God once over something else, does that problem go away? Or is it presented with a new one? Is that thing, that golden calf, does it go away forever? or do we make a new one? And third, is there something in your life or that you can see in somebody else's that is forcing God out? Can God cohabit your mind? I've got a couple discussion questions for you. They'll be up here. Group leaders, please grab one. Be blessed this week, guys. You're dismissed.
Yeah.